Isn't it so exciting to hear what God's doing in people's lives? It is so incredible. And I'm here to say, Judah is an incredible guy, okay? Not discounting him. But God isn't just looking for people who are incredible or people who feel like they're good enough. He wants to encounter us all. So the experience and why I wanted Judah to share is because I want you all to expect that God can move, whether in worship, whether hearing the word, whether in your time of silence, God is gonna move. Because it says where two or three come together in his name, he's here, right? So you are already in the presence of God. You don't have to do anything. You're not performing to experience him. God says, my presence is here. Just rest. And I wanted you to hear from someone who just took time to be honest with God. He experienced it. And it didn't say he had to like do all these penances or things like that. He just came, humbly laid out his life, and Jesus met him. And that's here for you guys too. So be encouraged that today, as we continue on learning, and we're going on through this series called The Foundations, that as we're challenged, God wants you to experience more of him. And you will. So don't try to trick yourself in saying, I'm not ready yet. You came tonight, you're ready. You're in his presence. You don't have to perform anything to be ready. Just being here is enough. So take some pressure off your back. Don't worry. You just sit and let the Lord do what he needs to do. Amen? Sound good? All right. So we're going to go dive in. Last week, we discussed how we in the Western world are really drawn to being constantly stimulated. And I had everyone pull out their phones, and I had everyone look at their screen time. I hope no one got super discouraged. But I also hope, look at it right now. You guys can take time right now. Pull it out. Here's accountability check, right? We're not hearers of the word, we're doers, right? I got like two amens here. Sorry for... All right. Have you improved? You don't have to answer. You don't have to like announce it. But here's the thing. I don't want you to feel like you have to be good enough. I am just simply challenging you, each one of us. I challenge myself. Am I going to get off my phone more often to spend more time with Jesus, more time not being stimulated with social media, other distractions, more time invested in God's presence? So if you look at it now, here's a great way to help you out. Write down, you don't have to share it with your neighbor. If you want accountability, share it with your neighbor. Text it to a friend or put it in a note what your time was, average weekly time on your screen. Simple way. And come back next week and see how well you do. You don't have to all of a sudden feel like you have to go cold turkey. I'm not here to challenge you to like have no phone. But someone once famously said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Amen.
Thank you. As an Indian, it resonated a little bit more with me. But, you know, it takes daily just small steps of faith. Small growth, incremental. I'm all about practical ways we can grow and train ourselves to be better stewards of the word. And we talked about how experiencing God doesn't come at the result of us performing something. It just comes with us just being still. Like the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. You don't have to do anything. God is already trying to make himself known. You just have to quiet yourself and allow the Lord to reveal. What is he wanting to do? And here's the challenge, because as we're going through the series on foundations, the thing that the Lord convicted me on, and this is like, man, I was like, God, I don't know if I want this type of conviction. The conviction I got was, you know, being still in God's presence, enjoying the Lord for who he is. That's something we're all learning and we're training ourselves in. And sometimes I feel like in our Western mindset that what we talk about is heaven is about like, oh, the mansion, oh, the miracles, oh, the great food, the golden streets, all these things. We love talking about what heaven happens. But sometimes I wonder, and this is what the Lord put on my heart, is are you going to be disappointed because God's presence isn't enough for you? And that's just where I was like, God, I don't know if I'm ready for that right now. But the Lord is just challenging us, because sometimes we overhype like the hand of God and not his presence, just him simply being here. It's like if in a relationship you value the gifts your partner gives you and not simply who they are as a person. And what I'm wanting us to realize in our foundations of understanding God is that we should be satisfied with simply knowing who our Father is. Because knowing who our Father means we know that we're protected. Knowing our Father also knows that we have everything we need. Because the Word of God says, I've given you everything you need. So as we're going, if you're not there, don't worry. We're working through this. We're working through this. And this is not, never will this word is not meant to condemn you, but to encourage you to dive deeper into relationship with Jesus, deeper into his presence, deeper into who Jesus truly is. So today we are going to dive in on this foundational truth of faith and works. You know, I love doing good, easy topics. And we're going to dive in first to James chapter 2. If you guys turn with me to James chapter 2. And we're going to go with 14. And here's the thing is, I want us to understand that this is a relationship that doesn't make you simply be satisfied in your own connection, but it's a relationship that transforms you into being an agent of change for the kingdom of God. See, that's the difference between being in a relationship with a person and a relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord wants you to spread the love that you get from him to other people. A relationship with people, and sometimes why it's so hard to understand is because relationships with individuals, sometimes we just make it private. It's just about me and my partner, me and my wife. And God is wanting to teach us that it was never meant to be just only personal. It's meant to cause change in the workplace, in your school, in your home, amongst people who don't know Jesus. Because the beauty of the relationship with God is that it makes you a person that gives to people who are looking for someone to love them in a way that's unconditional. Everyone's looking for love. Everyone's looking for some type of love, whether it is a physical love or it's just an appreciation love or it's something that like, hey, I recognize who you are. We're all looking for different forms of love. But if we're talking about God's love is unconditional. And that unconditional love is not meant to just make us feel good, but it's meant to empower you to love the world. So we're going to go to James chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read this and we're going to break it down. And then we're going to go to some other scripture. James chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Amen. "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Father God, we have read your word, and I just ask, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see ourselves, to see ourselves in the way you see us, not in a way that condemns us, but in a way that prunes us, loves us, heals us. Open our ears to hear your voice. Speak louder than all the lies of the enemy and the thoughts that provoke us. And open our hearts, Father, the hearts that have been bruised and tattered and hurt, to be healed by your word. And to spurred into restoration. Because that's who you are, Jesus. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through this. And this is a weighty topic. I understand that. But that's why we're going to go through it together. So that we can learn and grow. Are you guys here to learn, right? Yeah. Amen. It says, and I'll give you a practical thing. Okay, so we're going to talk about verse 15. It says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that?" Okay, so a lot of times we take this very practically. And I'm not saying that this is a wrong thing, okay? And we're thinking about, okay, those, the orphans, the widows, the homeless. We think about giving them things. And I encourage you to do that, okay? I'm not here to say no to that. But sometimes I feel like we are so good at doing things for people we don't know than loving the people around us. What I mean is this. How many of you guys would say, and I encourage you to raise your hand on this, how many of you guys would say that you could use better Christian community in your life? So a few people here, right? Half of people here. Maybe there's more. How many of us think of ourselves as people who can bring Christian community to the people in this room? It says if your brother or sister's lacking something, and you're like, okay, go in peace, God will give you community. But you don't offer to be that community for them? Faith without works is dead. If you're telling people, oh yeah, good, hey, you can find community, talk to the other guy. Talk to this guy, he'll help you get community. But you don't want to participate in it. What good is that? What good is it to pray, oh yeah, we're going to pray about it, when God can use you to love on someone else? You may be saying, oh well, I don't know how to relate. You know, everyone doesn't know how to relate to everyone well. You think we're all just perfect at this? We're not. It takes practice, but it also takes a humility to be like, hey, I don't know how to do this thing called community, but I'll try. You don't have to be perfect. And here's the detriment I find in our culture today is we're all looking for a great community to jump into. It's hard to start community when you don't have it. You're like, well, I don't have friends. I can't do community. God's given you his love. What if you're just like, hey, talk to one person. Don't you trust that God's going to use that person to love you well? Or do you think that the body of Christ isn't really that great? And that you're the only one going to operate in faith? I feel like that's a very self-righteous standpoint, and I don't think that we recognize that. If we think we're the only good ones that are going to love other people well and not everyone else is, nothing good will happen with that kind of mindset. And that's what I feel like destroys the body before we even start. Is we're waiting for someone else to do something that God is empowering each one of us to do. You have a mouth, you have a heart, you have hands, you have feet. God is more than able to use each one of you to start community wherever you are. I don't care how big or if it has to be here. I just pray that each one of us would always be looking around for someone who feels alone. I pray that we don't have to go into the homeless places. We can look into the church because that's where I feel the most broken people come to. Because that analogy is the church is a hospital for the broken. It's only a good hospital if people who are broken get healed. But if the broken people continue to come to church and they continue to leave church broken, that isn't a good place to do business. There needs some people of faith to rise up. It says, God, I don't know how to do it. But Lord, I see my brother, I see my sister hurting. And it breaks my heart. And God, could you just use me and my weakness? Like the Bible says, it says the weak ones he lifts up. It's not the people who think they know how to do community. It's actually the people who don't know how to do community. If you say like, well, Pastor Jeremiah, I don't know how to do this thing called community. I don't know how to love people because I don't relate to that many people here. I'm going to tell you, God wants to use that. Because when you say, I don't know, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and says, welcome to the club. Now your faith has to be activated. God, I got to trust you on this, but not just faith, it's the works. God, I'm going to step out, I'm going to talk to this person. I might be uncomfortable. I might not say the right things, but God, I'm going to do it because my faith says I have to do something because I want to be an agent. I want to be someone used for the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden says, that's enough. Because there's a marriage of faith and works that God wants to do in the body of Christ, but people are trying to be perfect, and that doesn't need faith. God doesn't need your perfection. He needs your weakness. Because in your weakness, you're going to rely on him more. And then whenever you take action, God says, I want to use you. And all of a sudden, a broken community gets healing. All of a sudden, bondages get let go. Shame, hurt, depression starts to leave because there are people who recognize that because my faith was activated, because I didn't know what to do, but I took a step of faith, Holy Spirit started using me. That's Jesus. That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about people who know everything there is about the Bible. It's talking about people who say their faith, which is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you haven't seen yourself building community, that's perfect. You're a good candidate for faith. Did you ever realize the fact that you don't know makes you perfect for this? Instead of you saying, well, no, I'm disqualified, God's like, no, actually that makes you qualified. Because you now have to use faith. You have to rely on something you've never done before. If you've done it all the time, what is the need for faith? There isn't. And sometimes we're trying to have faith for like, we always talk about like big things like miracles and healings, and I'm here for it. But I think the best thing that we could do in the body of Christ is start building community. Because it says in Acts, they were one in the Spirit. And I feel like we want to see all these great things, but we don't want unity. And it feels really, really counterintuitive. Because who wants to come into a body of Christ that there's fights, that there's no love? You can find that anywhere else in this world. Faith without works is dead. But I also want to say the Bible talks about works doesn't make you have faith. So there's a delicate balance, and we're going to go into that. But I want to highlight this point. You saying that you believe in God does not make you a Christian. I just want to highlight this because sometimes I feel like in our world today, as soon as someone says, are you a Christian? A common answer I hear is, yeah, I believe in God. Turn with me to verse 19. It says, you believe in God. Good. Demons believe that. I share that with you not to condemn you or to hurt you, but I'm here to say that that doesn't qualify you as a child of God. And for too long, the label Christian has been attached to someone who believes in God, and that's why we have problems. Why a lot of people don't like Christians is because all that's attached to a Christian is someone who believes in God. This is why we need to have a foundation where we say a Christian is not someone who just believes in God, it's someone who walks the walk. Who talks and walks. It's not one or the other. It says, how they know you're Christians? Not by you proclaiming that you believe in Jesus, but by your love. So it's a marriage of both, but I want you to be reminded that what qualifies you as a Christian isn't just a belief. Because people believe in so many things. And a lot of times, the Bible also says, believing that Jesus is the only way. Other faiths say that, yeah, Jesus is a good God. But I also believe in Buddha. I also believe in all the Hindu gods. Like, honestly, you don't realize that a lot of Hindus struggle with this concept because they can believe in the Christian God, but they can't reject their other gods. And the reason why I share that is because you may believe in the Christian God, but you may also listen to the God of this world that tells you how to live your life, that tells you everything's okay, permissible. You may not have attached to a deity as a religion, but I want to tell you how you live does not talk about the God you serve. And that's why I say, is like, understand it's not just about the belief, but embodying what our God calls us to do that makes us a Christian. It makes us children of God. Because Abraham believed God. He believed that there was a promise that he would have nations come out of him. So he was okay with trusting God, but says, hey, go put Isaac on the altar. He's like, I trust you, God. So he went and he put Isaac on the altar, and God said, okay, I see your faith and your willingness to trust me. I am going to bless you. Because sometimes how God works in our lives is by causing us to really ask the question, what am I willing to sacrifice for the sake of Jesus? What am I willing to let go so that people see my faith changes the way I live? And that's why I say, is like, believing in Jesus means adhering to what the Bible says. Why I go to scriptures, because I don't want you to say believing in Jesus is according to what Pastor Jeremiah says. That's not what the Bible says. I speak from the Word of God, so you have a direct reference to that. This is about you and the Word becoming one. You understanding that the Bible is calling you into a trust and dependence into action. That no one has to tell you. And here's the thing. Here's the sad part. I've seen believers get disappointed because ministers of the gospel never told them that they were good enough to be ministers. So they never thought that God could use them. And that's so sad. And that's why I always try to make sure you guys all know that God wants to use each and every one of you in all your spheres of influence. None of you are disqualified, because when you say yes to Jesus, Jesus says, I want to use you. Because the Word of God says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So don't you think God wants to use whoever is available? God is not here saying, I'm only using Pastor Jeremiah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He's wanting to use you because what you do, and this is what I'll say this till the day I die. Jesus told the disciples, greater things will you do than him. I am telling you, greater things will you do than me, because Jesus is in you. And I believe that. I don't, anytime someone tells me what God does, when I hear the beautiful testimonies of the Djibouti team, when I hear the beautiful testimonies of people doing daily life and experiencing God, I thank the Lord. It was so beautiful to see on Sunday the Djibouti team. All these young kids, not kids, you know what I'm saying. all these young men and mighty men and women of God here, and then the senior adults just come in for prayer. Because they're like, wow, they saw something. I've never seen so many senior adults come down for prayer from a young adult, to get prayed for by a young adult. You don't realize some of those senior adults are pastors, ministers who've served God 50, 60 years of their life, and they didn't care because they saw something in the young adults. God is not a respecter of person. He wants to truly use each and every person here. The only person that's limiting you is yourself. You've limited yourself because you haven't taken a step of faith. And I'm encouraging you tonight. Tonight, God is going to activate faith within you to start believing that you will take action. You're not going to be a person that simply believes in God, but you follow Jesus. You walk the walk. You talk the talk. Because here, like I said, I'm going to point you to scripture that says it's not just by works. Everyone go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're hearing this from none other than Jesus. So you know that this is going to be something super important for you to understand. And I love that Jesus is the one talking about works, because a lot of times we think, oh, that person must be spiritual because God used them to do a healing. I'm here to make it not about works. What defines you is Jesus in you. Not because God used you to bring healing, God used you to save a life. No, it's the Lord, the Holy Spirit inside of you, abiding with you. It says here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Oof. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast demons out in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, let us not be like that. As a young adults community, I don't want to be defined by miracles. I don't want to be defined by healings. I don't want that. I want to be defined by the presence of God working in every single person's life. Because if you're only defined by what's in this room, our God isn't big enough. Matter of fact, that isn't really God. God isn't confined to a space. He wants to go with us. When we say the word Emmanuel, it means God with us. And last time I checked, God isn't just with us in church. He's with us at our workplace. He's with us with that difficult coworker. He's with us in difficult situations where we feel stressed. And sometimes we've relegated God to just being God here instead of God that's constantly with us. So when it says, like, God, we did this in your name, I want to tell you, God uses imperfect people all the time, all throughout Scripture. Sometimes we don't realize the prophet Balaam, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, it says there's this prophet Balaam. He wasn't a Christian prophet. Okay? This is a he was a mystic, of that time. And he did a lot of sorcery and divination, and it said that he was getting bribed to speak a curse over Israel. And the Lord stopped him, and then he was pushed and persuaded by the Holy Spirit to speak a blessing, because it was God's people and God protected his children. Okay, so we see that. But a lot of people don't realize this. Balaam is also mentioned in the Bible as causing an insurrection and trying to destroy the Israelites. The same person who spoke a blessing three times, you read that third blessing is just, it sounds like it was by his own unction too, because he got excited there. But even after all that, Balaam led a revolt to try to kill the Israelites. This person who was used mightily to bless God's people ended up losing his life because he went after his own gain. And why I share that is because it's not about the moment, it's about relationship. If you're wanting God just to use you in a moment, that's not what God's about. And I think sometimes we compartmentalize God to just be here for this moment and then leave me, because that's how all the other relationships have been. Where it's like, I'll use you when I need you. I can isolate when I don't. And that's why it's sometimes so hard for us to be in solitude with the Lord, because we don't know what it's really like just being with Jesus and just saying, God, you're enough. Your presence is enough. I don't have to perform. I don't have to be perfect. I can come to you in my imperfection. Because Jesus said it wasn't about you prophesying. It wasn't about you casting out demons. I don't know you. I don't have, what no means, I don't have intimate relationship with you. That's what no means. It doesn't mean doing all these cool, amazing things where people give you praise. It's about you having relationship and understanding God and living according to that. And we need to be a people who are known by God. Where God's like, I know the young adult community here at Rochester Assembly. I know them and they're all passionate about loving me. I hope and pray that we would be a community where the love for Jesus was so strong that when we just got together, it just all of a sudden, peace just came into the room. People who came here for the first time, they just immediately experienced it. Just because all of us are carrying God's presence. You are carrying. It's not about one person. It's about all of us being with Jesus. Because faith in works was never meant to be one or another. There are people who have a lot of faith, but then don't take any action. Oh, I believe God's going to do this, but we don't take one step. And what I truly believe God is inviting us today is to say, Lord, help me trust you to the point where I can take one step in the right direction. Just one. Sometimes it's just sharing that, hey, I just love God. I'm not here to tell you what the Lord is calling you to do as an action. I'm here to remind you that the Bible says faith and works go together. So when you say, I have faith in God, my question to you is, what is God wanting you to do? Is he wanting you to go just be present with someone and love on them? Is it wanting you to speak a word of encouragement? If you say, hey, I don't know what God is wanting to tell, then let's just quiet our souls and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because the Word of God says He's your Father, and He does not withhold any good thing from you. So do not allow the enemy's lie that says you can't hear from God. Because nowhere in this Word says you're not qualified. The fact that we have the Bible, we have access to the Word of God, this is Jesus speaking to us. Right now, He's calling us. He's inviting us to be not afraid, but to be activated. Be like, God, hey, I never thought I was qualified. I never thought I could do this, but Jesus, Your Word talks about faith and actions being together. And I just want to respond in my faith because I feel weak. If you feel weak right now, if you feel that you can't do this, I want to tell you that's the Holy Spirit reminding you that He's here for you. It's not the enemy telling you you're not good enough. It's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, invite me in. Invite me in because I am going to empower you with everything you need. Our weaknesses are meant to glorify the Lord. So stop making it about shaming you. Stop making it about what you're not good enough in is meant to shame you. Jesus never says that. He says, in our weaknesses, God is glorified. So the lie of the enemy isn't based on what the Bible says. It's based on what your image of yourself is saying right now. What people have said over you. What you believed about yourself. And I'm here to tell you that God is wanting to rewrite your story. So in this moment, before the worship team comes up, I just want us to take a pause and ask the Lord. We'll have a time of worship. But here's where you and I could just step back. It's not about what I say. It's not about what your friend says. It's about what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you because His Word was spoken over us. And if we all heard God's Word, we all have an opportunity to respond to it. But sometimes it just needs some quiet. Sometimes you just need to just unpack. Like Judah said, share with God that you're frustrated. God, why are you talking about this? Why do you want me to deal with this issue in my life? Be real because your fakeness isn't getting you anywhere. Your fakeness isn't going to get you more friends, make more people appreciate you. It's going to make you more hardened to responding to Jesus. So I encourage you, let your brokenness be enough. You saying that you don't have it, you saying you're frustrated, in the silence, God is going to speak and minister to you because He's here. You don't have to be swayed by music. You don't have to be swayed by anything. You just have to let the Lord do His work. So we're going to take a few minutes, complete silence. If you need to bow your heads, I encourage you, don't let any distraction rob you of this time with you and the Lord. But in this time, believe in faith that God is going to speak to you. Because I don't know what you need. I don't. But the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you one step. Don't make it like 1,000 steps. Don't make it about what you have to do for the next 5 years. Make it about what you need to do today. Because I don't know about you, but I could use one more step today. Because today's not over. There's still problems and worries that I have to go back home to. But God wants it to be a time where you feel empowered that your next step is going to be the best step of your life. Because you're walking with Jesus. So I'm just going to pray over here. We're going to have a moment just of silence. And believe. If you have faith, believe. And after that, we're going to take a time to respond. We're going to have a time where leaders can come to the altar and pray with you. We have needs amongst us that we want to intercede for. But let's not be too hasty and miss out on what God is wanting to speak to us right now in this island. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this beautiful moment. This holy moment where, Father, we get to hear from you in the secret, in the quiet place, where your word speaks over your people. Father, I thank you that you're drawing us out into a deeper relationship with you. And I thank you, Lord, that even in our fear, you invite us to trust you. So, Holy Spirit, what I can't do as a pastor, Lord, you do. Because you are the good shepherd. And you take care of your sheep. And I pray as we take time to pause, Holy Spirit, heal brokenness. Destroy every lie of the enemy that is in robbing people of joy, of peace. Let your presence be made known in this place for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.